Hey guys, I'd like to introduce you to a new podcast that I know you're going to love. Do you like travel? Do you like picturesque locations and getting away from it all? Well, this new podcast has all that and murder. It's called Slaycation, and it's a darkly humorous look at murders and mysterious deaths that took place on vacation. Hosted by a true crime fanatic, her comedy writer husband, and his TV producing partner, Slaycation brings a unique perspective to chilling, thrilling, and WTF stories of vacations gone horribly wrong. From the twisted tale of Harold and Tony Henthorne, whose romantic anniversary in the Rocky Mountains ended with one of them falling off a cliff, to Angelica and Vincent, two recently engaged lovebirds whose Hudson Valley kayaking adventure ended underwater. Each episode of Slaycation will have you asking, accident or murder? But it's not just the stories that'll intrigue you. It's the discussion between a longtime married couple and business partners who happen to be Emmy-nominated TV producers. Each episode of Slaycation also includes humor, takeaway and travel tips that will keep your next vacation from being your last. If you're ready to pack your body bags, Slaycation is available on all major podcast platforms. Search for Slaycation on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey everyone, I wanted to give you a heads up that the highly anticipated second season of the hit podcast Proof is finally here. So if you're looking for more true crime content, go check it out because Proof is an awesome investigative true crime podcast co-hosted by Susan Simpson of Undisclosed and Jacinda Davis of Evil Lives Here. Proof made headlines for its first season in 2022 after proving the innocence of two Georgia men serving life sentences for murdering their friend Brian Bowling when they were just 17 years old. And 25 years later, on December 8th of 2022, both men were finally freed, all based on evidence unearthed by Proof. Now in the second season of Proof, Murder at the Warehouse, Susan and Jacinda are on the case again, this time traveling to the streets of Manteca, California to uncover who really murdered 18-year-old Renee Ramos. On June 5th of 2000, Ramos's body was found buried under a pile of debris inside the shell of a new Home Depot building. Despite tips hinting at alternate suspects, tips that were ignored until now, Renee's boyfriend, 18-year-old skateboarder Jake Silva, and Ty Lopez, the 33-year-old uncle of one of Jake's close friends, were arrested and convicted of her murder. Fans of true crime and investigative series won't want to miss this riveting new season and follow the case as Susan and Jacinda uncover long-overlooked evidence about what really happened to Renee by listening to Proof, Murder at the Warehouse, wherever you get your podcasts. Who doesn't love a good government conspiracy theory? It's the ultimate David versus Goliath and us versus them scenario. For years, the CIA has worked on so many different projects that the public would never be told about until years later, and a lot of them are legitimately crazy. Effective in some cases, but they're bizarre nonetheless. Today, we're checking out some of those that came and went, or at least that's what they've told us. Here are four of the craziest CIA programs that may still exist. Number 4. Tweet Tweet. This is a tale that should definitely interest you, as it most likely concerns all of us right now at this very moment. It's about propaganda on a large scale, being delivered to you, the American people. And I know we're the land of the free and that sort of thing could never happen here, of course. Except, it most certainly did. Right in America, and it was called Operation Mockingbird. Most of us would agree that at this very moment in our history, we're all feeling more divided than ever. But have you ever stopped to ask yourself why exactly that is? And is it even real? We know that in our echo chambers, the algorithm feeds us what we want to hear. This side good, that side bad, and maybe that's all because the powers to be want it to be like that. And We're all falling for it, hook, line, and sinker. And there's a good reason why they're doing it. Project Mockingbird goes back about 80 years. In the late 1940s, as the world was dealing with the aftermath of World War II, a new kind of war took shape. The United States and the Soviet Union, once allies against a common enemy, now stood as bitter rivals vying for global supremacy. It was in this atmosphere of distrust and competition that the CIA launched Project Mockingbird, a secret initiative born out of the desire to control the narrative, both domestically and internationally. The rationale was simple, and it made sense. In a world increasingly dominated by the flow of information, controlling the narrative was not just advantageous, it was essential. The CIA believed that by influencing media outlets, they could shape public opinion, counteract communist propaganda, and sway the political outcomes in countries around the globe. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Project Mockingbird was implemented through a sophisticated network of journalists and media execs were either wittingly recruited by the CIA or unwittingly manipulated to serve its ends. The operation extended its tentacles into major newspapers, magazines, and TV networks, turning them into conduits for CIA propaganda. The agency did everything from providing journalists with classified information to sway their reporting, to planning stories entirely that would further U.S. interests. The operation was shrouded in such secrecy that many within the government were unaware of its full extent. But it went deep and spread wide, and so what was real and what was fabricated is up for debate. However, there's no doubt that the world we live in today was shaped in part by this project. The outcome ultimately was a double-edged sword. Project Mockingbird achieved significant success in its heyday, influencing both domestic and international perceptions on key events and policies. However, the revelation of its existence in the 1970s, primarily through investigative reporting and congressional inquiries, exposed a darker side of American democracy. The public and political backlash was swift and severe. Revelations about Project Mockingbird led to a broader scrutiny of the CIA's domestic activities, culminating in the Church Committee hearings, which sought to rein in the unchecked powers of the U.S. intelligence community. And now officially the stance is that Project Mockingbird was dismantled following the reforms of the 1970s, but of course the idea of media manipulation and covert influence operation has not gone away. And today, in an age where information travels at the speed of light and digital platforms dominate, the lessons of Project Mockingbird remain more relevant than ever. The CIA, as well as many other powers to be, could certainly take advantage of all this new tech. Take Twitter, for example. Beyond the controversies of how the company was run under Jack Dorsey, where it's been shown that they were promoting democratic rhetoric and suppressing those who were more conservative, literally, their logo was a blue mockingbird. Technically, though, according to the creator of the logo, it's a mountain bluebird, but tomato-tomato. It's an interesting choice, given what has been revealed, I guess, is the point. Rumors still persist about many modern incarnations of mockingbird-like operations, fueled by leaks, whistleblowers, and the occasional slip from officials. While concrete evidence of a direct successor to Project Mockingbird is elusive, the debate on the ethics and implications of government involvement in media continues to rage. We all seem to think we're being fed the truth, but with so many different messages out there, what exactly does that even mean? Number 3, the CIA's feline spies. Information about the enemy has always been the key to winning wars, both hot and cold. Knowing what your adversary is up to and what their next move will be allows you to set up counterattacks, and so the number one goal is to gather all the intelligence you can. Which is why the CIA embarked on one of its more unusual and ambitious projects in its history. dubbed Operation Acoustic Kitty. And this classified operation was a testament to the lengths that agencies would go to gain the upper hand against their opponents. The inception of Acoustic Kitty was rooted in the CIA's constant quest for innovative surveillance methods, which is why in the early 1960s, during the height of the Cold War, the agency sought to exploit every possible advantage to eavesdrop on Soviet diplomats and intelligence operatives. This idea was straightforward. Use cats, with their natural stealth and agility, as live mobile listening devices. The implementation of the operation began with surgical precision and technological innovations. Audio experts first devised a miniaturized audio surveillance system, small enough to be concealed within a cat's body. The chosen cat then went under the knife with a veterinary surgeon, where a microphone was implanted in the cat's ear canal and a small battery-powered transmitter was based in its skull. The feline's tail served as the antenna, a thin wire running from the head to the tail, which was camouflaged by its fur. The training program for the Acoustic Kitty was elaborately involved as well. The cat was conditioned to ignore distractions and focus on its target areas, a process that proved to be challenging given the independent nature of cats. The agency hoped that their furry operative could wander into parks or sit casually near foreign embassies, undetected by human intelligence operatives, to eavesdrop on confidential conversations. The reality of this operation, however, was far from what the CIA had envisioned. The operation's first field test ended in tragedy, as according to declassified CIA documents, shortly after being released for its inaugural mission to spy on a Soviet compound in Washington, D.C., the Acoustic Cat was struck and killed by a taxi, rendering the operation a complete failure. Now, this incident has been disputed by former director at the Offices of Technical Service, Robert Wallace, who had a much more pragmatic explanation on why the program was abandoned. This whole idea had reportedly cost over $20 million in today's dollars, and it was the training of the cats to go where they needed them to that was the issue. In the end, it was just too hard for them to follow directions. By 1967, the operation was officially scrapped. The Acoustic Kitty Project would then go down as one of the most bizarre CIA operations in its history. Number 2, psychic espionage. Once again in search of finding all the information, another radical idea was born that would go on to be named Stargate Project. This initiative was a bold journey into the uncharted territories of the human mind, exploring the potential of psychic phenomena for spying purposes. The quest for remote viewing, which was seeing distant or unseen targets physically, even when the person doing it was a world away, would of course be an amazing ability to harness, essentially a superpower, but did it work? Well, depends who you ask. The inception of Project Stargate traces back to the early 70s amidst growing concerns that the Soviet Union was investing heavily in psychotronic research, aiming to harness psychic phenomena for military and intelligence applications. Fearing a psychic gap, the U.S. government sanctioned covert research programs to explore similar capabilities, and thus Project Stargate was conceived not out of pure fascination with the paranormal, but as a strategic countermeasure to perceived Soviet advancements. Stargate operated under complete secrecy, with its operations tucked away in the confines of military and intelligence facilities. The people working on this were fully aware that it was a far-out concept, and if it failed, they wanted to pretend like it never existed. If it succeeded, on the other hand, they also didn't want anyone to know, should the ability get into the wrong hands. At the heart of this program, as mentioned, was the idea of remote viewing, a practice where individuals known as viewers attempted to describe or sketch details about a location, object, or event without any prior knowledge or conventional means of information gathering. These viewers often claimed to possess psychic abilities. They were subjected to rigorous testing and experiments to validate their purported skills. Ingo Swann is often cited as one of the most remarkable and influential figures in the realm of remote viewing. A psychic and artist by profession, Swann is credited with helping to develop the methodology of remote viewing that was used by the U.S. military and intelligence services. His abilities were considered exceptional by many who studied remote viewing, as Swann claimed to have successfully described distant weather phenomena, the contents of a few sealed envelopes, and even detailed physical characteristics of planets like Jupiter before they were confirmed by space probes. However, the scientific community has remained skeptical of these claims, often attributing them to chance or even leaked information. Hal Puthoff, a physicist, was not primarily known for his personal remote viewing abilities, but rather for his role in researching, developing, and promoting remote viewing protocols within Project Stargate and its predecessors. Hal, along with Russell Targ, conducted early experiments at the Stanford Research Institute that aimed to scientifically investigate the remote viewing phenomena. Under their guidance, several individuals, including Ingo Swann, were tested for psychic abilities. Hal's work has been both influential and controversial, with critics pointing to the lack of rigorous scientific methodology and replicability in his experiments. But how does one scientifically measure a person's psychic ability? I mean, it's a concept that we don't fully understand, and so it's impossible, and that was the ultimate problem with all this. There were certainly examples where remote viewing seemed to work. These psychics were given coordinates on a map and told to see what was there, and they could describe physical features of structures they had never seen in real life. But it didn't work 100% of the time. If you're talking about asking them to gather information on an enemy's classified documents or buildings, if you can't know that it's all correct, then you have to assume that it's all wrong, and then you're back to square one. Even if someone can be 80% effective at remote viewing, that's not enough to organize the cavalry and create an entire mission behind it. Advocates within the program claimed instances where remote viewing produced actionable intelligence, albeit these claims were often met with skepticism and demands for empirical evidence. And so, the program's fate came to a head in 1995 when the CIA commissioned the independent review of its results. The findings were mixed. The review acknowledged that some aspects of remote viewing exhibited statistical significance beyond chance, suggesting an unexplained phenomenon at play. However, it concluded that the information provided was too vague and unreliable for intelligence purposes, leading to the eventual termination of Project Stargate. At least, that's the official word, but who really knows, right? Number 1. Climax at Midnight. This is the story of Operation Midnight Climax, a project that exemplifies the lengths to which governments might go in the name of national security, even at the expense of ethical boundaries and human rights. It's a very real story, and once that sinks in, after you've heard all the details, it's truly terrifying, as it's about experimenting with drugs on unwilling participants. The year was 1953, a time when the Cold War's grasp was wrapped tightly around the globe, prompting a climate of paranoia and fear. In this era of spies and rivalry is when the CIA embarked on a quest to master mind control, aiming to develop techniques for interrogation and psychological warfare. This quest birthed MKUltra, a covert and illegal human experimentation program under which Operation Midnight Climax was conceived. The operation's goal was to study the effects of LSD and other substances on unsuspecting individuals, to understand whether these drugs could be used to extract information or manipulate behavior. In order to do this, they had to dose people without their knowledge and then study them. And so, they needed a place to conduct that research. safe houses for CIA officials, some high ranking, were then set up in San Francisco and the surrounding area, and then later extended to New York City. The CIA would find those who liked to party socially, and people they knew would take the bait. They would then be sent to these safe houses for a job that had nothing to do with the real project at hand. They had ladies of the night on their payroll whose job it was to dose these individuals and get them back to the room and then question them. The drug concoctions would be a wide array of things as they tested these men out like lab rats. They'd see if they would divulge information while under the influence, CIA secrets they knew that if sober they wouldn't otherwise discuss. Sometimes they would see if they could make these men do things like steal or assault people. Subliminal messages were also used to see those effects as well. These locations were all equipped with one-way mirrors, behind which agents and hired observers would sit, martini in hand, watching the drug-induced interactions unfold. As the operation progressed, it became clear that ethical considerations had been thoroughly abandoned. Dr. Sidney Gottlieb, the chemist who directed MKUltra, oversaw a midnight climax, pushing the boundaries of the legality and morality of the whole thing. He saw it personally, as the end justifies the means, so if he could figure out something to be used on the enemy, then all would be forgiven. The CIA's interest in LSD was part of a broader fascination with mind control techniques that could be weaponized against enemies, inspired in part by rumors of mind control experiments in Soviet Russia and North Korea. But as the experiments progressed, the human cost began to mount. The subjects of these experiments, devoid of consent or awareness, found themselves plunged into drug-induced states that could lead to profound psychological distress. One CIA scientist even fell 10 stories out of a building in NYC in 1953 after being given one of these cocktails. And why he fell exactly has, of course, never been clear-cut. Midnight Climax came to an abrupt end in the mid-60s, as the results of the experiments began to surface within the CIA and among the public. The operation, once shrouded in secrecy, was exposed in the 1970s through the efforts of investigative journalists and a concerned Congress. The revelations led to hearings, notably the Church Committee, which examined and criticized the CIA's actions. The fallout from Operation Climax and the broader MKUltra program was significant, leading to stricter controls over human experimentation within the U.S. government agencies. Yet, the operation's victims, those subjected to experimentation without their knowledge, received little in the way of acknowledgement or justice. The question of whether anyone died directly because of the operation remains murky, given the secrecy surrounding it and the lack of comprehensive records. However, the psychological and emotional toll on many individuals was undeniable, with reports of long-term trauma and distress. So there were four of the craziest CIA programs that may still exist. I'm Andrew, and I want to thank you all very much for tuning in. If you like listening to us and you want to get an additional and exclusive podcast each and every week, please go check us out on Patreon, where now you can get the audio exclusive podcast for just 75 cents per episode, plus access to the entire library. It's free, so go check it out in the link below. Everybody stay safe out there. I'll see you soon.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.